The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Monday, June the 7th, this is The Brief from WABE. The U.S. Department of Justice says it's taken back most of the ransom Alpharetta-based Colonial Pipeline paid to hackers last month as part of a major ransomware attack. At a news conference this afternoon, the feds gave few details on how it recovered the funds, but said it happened after a federal court in Northern California issued a warrant earlier today. Colonial operates the nation's largest fuel pipeline. It confirmed paying $4.4 million to a gang of hackers who broke into its computer system in early May, a decision officials say, quote, wasn't taken lightly. They say they decided to do anything within their power to restore the system to normal as quickly as possible. David Becker is the executive director of the nonpartisan nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research. That's the same nonprofit that Georgia Secretary of State's office engaged to assist with last year's transition to a new paper ballot voting system. When we spoke recently, Becker said the state ran a model election in November, and SB 202, the new election law, is, quote, unnecessary. I asked him if he's surprised that 6 months later, Georgia politicians are still talking about election fraud.
I'm very surprised we're still talking about it. I'm surprised. This is usually a time when election officials and people who work in elections are resetting, are thinking of long-term about the time in between big federal elections. We have never before in American history had a time like this where the losing candidate, and it should be said, the former president, lost this election by a lot. It was the largest margin of any presidential election in the 21st century that Barack Obama wasn't on the ballot. All of the supposedly close states that he lost by a minimum of 10,000 votes. 10,000 votes in might seem like a small percentage or a small number of votes. In the world of recounts and audits, that is a landslide victory. And the fact that the former president and his circle of advisors have partnered with really grifters and scam artists to continue to prey on the understandably disappointed citizens who voted for him, in an effort undoubtedly to raise money. I feel for the citizens who are being constantly lied to and preyed upon for profit.
Is this something our democracy will survive unscathed, do you think? Or in 3.5 years, are we going to see maybe really the true effects of this ongoing charade?
I mean, that's a $64,000 question. It's what keeps me up at night. There's been so much damage done to our democracy now that I don't think we're going to fix it in 3.5 years. I think this is going to take decades to fix. We are at a point that democracy is breaking down, that democratic self-governance cannot occur because the legitimacy of those that have truly won elections is constantly being questioned. And ironically, it's often being questioned by the same people who won elections on those same ballots. That's certainly true in Georgia. That's true in Arizona. That's true in Texas. Members of the House of Representatives, members of the state legislatures in those states were elected on the same ballots that they're calling into question. They are effectively questioning their own legitimacy. This is unsustainable as a democracy. And honestly, it's the kind of thing that our adversaries, autocracies around the world, places like China and Russia, have sought to do in the United States to undermine our democracy for years. And right now we're doing to ourselves what Chinese propaganda could never do.
You say it may take a generation or decades even to fix this. What does a fix look like?
That's another great question. I don't have an easy prescription for this. This is not just an election administration problem. We've seen that because we have really good election administration procedures, as solid as we ever have. We have more paper ballots in the United States than ever before, more audits than ever before. But facts aren't seeming to matter as much. This is not only about election administration and transparency, which we have to continue to improve on, but it's going to involve an element of pushing back against disinformation. It's going to involve an element of addressing how we all consume our media. There are tens of millions of people who have only heard news entirely fabricated that confirms for them that Donald Trump somehow won an election that he actually lost by 7 million votes. And if we can't agree on a shared reality, we're going to have long-term problems. The democracy absolutely relies upon some elements of a shared reality. But the Republicans, many of whom have stood up for truth, for fact, for integrity, including in Georgia, people like Secretary Raffensperger, despite the fact that they paid a cost for it. And from the Republican perspective, it's really important that they diagnose this problem correctly.
David Becker is the executive director and founder of the nonpartisan nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research. David, thank you for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Sakoria Turner is the 8-year-old girl who was fatally shot near the same South Atlanta Wendy's where police shot and killed Rayshard Brooks last June. Today, her family filed a lawsuit against city officials. Turner was killed on the 4th of July while riding in an SUV with her mother and a friend. It was just a few weeks after Brooks, the 27-year-old black man, was shot 3 times in the back by a white police officer. That happened on June 12th. The lawsuit was filed in Fulton County State Court against the city, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Atlanta Police Chief Rodney Bryant, and Wendy's International, as well as others. Environmental officials continue to find oil on the beaches on Jekyll and St. Simon's Islands and in nearby marshes. This is after the Golden Ray, the wrecked cargo ship stuck on Georgia's coast, leaked oil just a week ago. Molly Samuel has more.
Crews say the Golden Ray car carrier hasn't leaked since last Tuesday, but they are still cleaning up oil globules that wash up onto the beach and spots of oiled marsh. Meanwhile, cutting operations to remove the wreck continue. The Golden Ray capsized more than a year and a half ago as it was leaving the port of Brunswick. Wreck removal teams are slicing the ship into giant pieces to haul it away, along with the thousands of cars it was carrying. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
Gas prices in the Atlanta area moved down slightly over the week, just a penny a gallon on average. That's according to price aggregator Gas Buddy. Alex Helmick has more.
It's been a month since the cyber attack on Alpharetta-based Colonial Pipeline shut down gas supplies to thousands of service stations. Some people started hoarding gasoline, and prices spiked over the next couple of weeks. Since then, and post-Memorial Day weekend, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded in Atlanta has hovered around $2.91, 18 cents higher than before the hack, and more than $1.19 higher than a year ago, when many were forced to stay home because of the pandemic. Gas Buddy says Atlanta prices are still lower than the national average by about 13 cents a gallon. Alex Helmick, WABE News.
And again, Colonial Pipeline recovering most of that $4.4 million it paid in ransom. Today was a final day for people to get a COVID-19 vaccine at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Officials expected the number of vaccines given at that venue to top 300,000 when it's all said and done. At its peak, as many as 9,000 people per day receive vaccinations there. It was operating 7 days a week when it first opened in March. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, announced last month that it would close the site today. There's more local news available on our website at WABE.org. This is The Brief on WABE.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.